with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And some say he once took a job in the frozen aisle of a supermarket just so they'd call him Iceman. It's Mark Searby.
It's not far off. It's not far off. Yes, yes.
True story. True story. How are you, Iceman?
Yes, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I mean, what would yours be? You know, that's the thing. You can't all have cool ones, by the way. You know, it's all well and good watching Top Gun and everybody's got really cool...
I'd work in the poultry section and call me Goose.
You can't have that. You can't.
No.
No, you can't have that.
Retired.
Can't no. That. Chicken.
Oh, I don't know then. Chicken.
Chick.
Call me Chick. Oh, that's relatively
That's not
cool,
bad. That's not bad.
That's all right.
That's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
Could live with that.
Yeah, that's all right, I think. Yeah.
Chick.
Yeah.
It's better than Nug. Chick. Oh, I wanted to be the Chick. But then
yeah, no, it's no, not, we quite, couldn't call you Chicken, so you just have to be Chick. Yeah.
Chick, yeah. Chicken's too long a name.
It is. But, well, having said that, you know, I mean, getting it on the helmet.
Maverick.
I mean, Maverick is quite a long name as well, let's be honest. So,
three syllables.
Yeah, Chicken, you know, it's all right, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. I do wonder what people's aviator names would be, you know.
Yeah, we should do that. We should name everyone on the station with their aviator names.
I'm sure there's some sort of
that is a great idea.
Thing online that you put your name in and it gives you some random thing, you know.
Aviator name generator.
Yeah, Top Gun name generator or something like that, you know.
Well, we've finished this. I'm going online and we'll find out what our names are.
It's going to come back and it's going to be the most boring names in the world, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, which would fit us perfectly, because I'll be honest, I'll wear the helmet. I'm just not going in the plane at all. I'm not.
I'd love to go in there. I'm not flying the thing because I wouldn't.
Yeah, the same. Yeah. So what you're saying is, on the floor, on the ground, no worries.
Yeah.
As soon as I take off, no thanks. No, I'm the same. I'd be the same.
I need a bucket and I'll probably pass out.
Yes, yes. Well, it is Top Gun week, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It's finally there.
How long have we waited? I mean, ultimately, we've waited 30-something years since the original. And what, 2 years? 2 years, maybe, since this was meant to come out. Well, they started.
It feels like longer than that.
They started filming in 2019, basically, and it was meant to come out in 2020. Obviously, it got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And I read an interview with Tom Cruise where somebody had said to him, was there ever a chance that Top Gun Maverick would go to streaming? And he said, no, never. He said, we realise that some films just need to be seen on the big screen, which is obviously what me and you have been talking about over the past year since cinemas have returned. You know, you can see why some films were kept being pushed back, because you want that big screen experience. Top Gun Maverick, obviously, the right decision every step of the way.
It's got to be a big screen.
It's got to be. It's got to be. And look, you and I have said, you know, most people have got big screens now and, you know, decent sound systems, but there's a whole world of difference when you've got something like this. And also we must mention that a lot of this was filmed in IMAX as well. So you've got that.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the depth of it is even
better.
And
you need the big sounds, like the jet flying.
You do.
You've got to be in it.
You do. Yeah. I mean, when I saw it, I was sat right on the side of the row, and there was a speaker right above me.
Oh, yes.
It was so loud. So loud, it really was. But yes, so we're getting away from it here anyway. So Top Gun Maverick. So now, obviously, Pete Mitchell, Maverick, is back where he belongs. He's now training a new group of pilots for a very special assignment. I mean,
fake.
No,
that's all right.
I mean, I guess the question is, how do you follow up one of the most adrenaline fueled and erotic blockbuster movies of the past 30 years? Because, you know, that's a big ask, because Top Gun is still loved by millions of people. I still love it. I mean, I've seen it in 3D. I still love it. I think it's great.
3D?
Yeah, oh, wow. They put out a 3D Blu-ray of it. Yeah. The thing is, when you have Tom Cruise involved, it's likely worth the wait, to be honest. And I can confirm that Top Gun Maverick was worth the wait, and then some.
Yes. Oh,
so
that is good news.
So initially, well, not initially, actually, throughout the film, it does play on the nostalgia of the original movie. We see Maverick flirting with Peggy, still in communication with Iceman, and even keeping photos from the old days as well. Obviously, you know, 30-something years.
Okay.
So there's a lot of nods back to the original, which I'm sure loads of people will love. Loads of people. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. The interesting bit is that this film actually needs the nods back to the original because it's almost like a bridge to a new era. So we see Maverick teaching a group of new Top Gun pilots for a very deadly mission. It just so happens that one of those pilots is Goose's son and someone who Maverick has been trying to make amends with since Goose died, basically.
Okay.
So what I really found, what I was kind of shocked about with this film is how deep it goes with the PTSD that Maverick is still dealing with all of these years after the death of his best buddy and obviously his co-pilot as well. You know, he's haunted by the ghost of Goose. So now he has to see the living embodiment of Goose's, you know, the next generation. I mean, basically Maverick wants to protect him, but Rooster, that's Bradley Bradshaw, his call sign, isn't here for that. He wants to be the best like his dad was. He wants to beat the others to lead this dangerous mission as well. So this film is very much hitting a sort of coming of age for Bradshaw as well. There is this love-hate relationship between the two characters that I thought worked brilliantly. And also, the fact that Miles Teller looks almost identical to Anthony Edwards back in the day kind of scared me a little bit.
I saw a shot and thought, oh, wow, okay.
Yes, that's the
clever
thing.
Casting.
But that's brilliant casting, isn't it? That's brilliant casting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not the fact that he's got the moustache and he's got the sort of hair. It's the fact that he looked like Anthony Edwards. I was like, wow, my goodness, this is brilliant. This is fantastic.
Yeah,
so amazing. That's great. Of course, we're not just here for the storyline, are we? Let's be honest. I mean, I will say this. It's an emotional storyline. It will get you teary-eyed. Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're here for those flying sequences as well.
Oh, yes.
Totally worth the wait. They have been dialed up more than the first one. So there are cameras inside and outside of the planes, making it feel like we are directly on Maverick's lap or on Maverick's shoulder or in the back. Or on the nose, or on the wing, or underneath, or all of these places, basically. It is incredible cinematography. I will say this, if you suffer from vertigo, don't go and see it. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. It really is.
You'll be tripping. Yeah, wow.
The big finale, which I won't spoil. I mean, it doesn't particularly matter. I think you can kind of guess what's going to happen. The big finale is just one huge ball of adrenaline and relentless camera work. It's brilliant stuff that just my jaw was just on the floor. I was like, wow, this is amazing. If anybody has seen the film Le Mans, hang on, is it Le Mans?
Oh, yeah.
With Christian Bale in it.
Yeah, the driving.
Yeah.
Adrenaline filled.
Yes. If anybody's seen
engine
that.
Through your face.
The amazing camera work in that where James Mangold, the director, had put small cameras on all of the different bits of the car. That's what's happened here with Top Gun Maverick, basically. All of the bits, you know, the director, Joseph Kaczynski, has put cameras all over the place. So you're getting all of these different shots so many times. All of them, as I said, jaw on the floor stuff. Really is.
Amazing.
So I think, you know, in the true sense of the meaning of the word blockbuster, Top Gun Maverick is a blockbuster movie. It is a true summer, big tentpole blockbuster movie, like what we used to get back in the 1980s and 90s before, you know, tentpole blockbuster movies were just all owned by Disney, basically, and all really involved spandex.
Yeah.
This has just about everything to keep everybody entertained. I really don't know how Tom Cruise and the writing team have done it, but they've pulled off making an outstanding sequel to a much-loved classic. I mean, it's breathtaking stuff, literally breathtaking stuff. It really is. So the answer is to see this on the biggest screen possible. That's the way to see it, because it is totally worth it.
amazing. So good. Just, I mean, I was worried this would be the sort of film that is obviously going to hark back to the original.
Yes.
It could have gone horribly wrong.
Well, that's the
but
worry.
You reckon they
yes.
smashed it out of the park.
That's the worry, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think we should probably... I think the issue is that when we see something like this, our minds instantly go, oh, no. And I think that's partially because a lot of horror films that do sequels diminish in returns through the years. But really, when you think about it, over the past few years, we've had sequels to much-loved classics that have actually stood the test of time, really. You know, I'm thinking about Blade Runner 2049, for example. You know, fantastic movie, totally up there with the original for me, really. You know, so now we've got this. And as I said, blockbuster movie. Full-on blockbuster movie, really.
Excellent. Right, so while we were discussing that, I found a name generator. Would you like to know your name now?
I do want to know my name.
Well, firstly, you're talking to Stuart Hopper, Pink.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I'm liking that. That's all right, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's been lovely to talk to you about this film, Mark Demo Sib.
What?
I don't know where that comes
from. Like demo, like D-E-M-O.
Yes, you are Mark Demo Sib.
That's not as cool, is it? Let's be honest.
I was settling for Hopper. I'm happy with that.
The Hopper's amazing. Yeah. Demo is rubbish. Oh, absolutely
that's it from now
rubbish.
On. You are Mark Demo Sib.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
So is that an order cinema?
It's across the UK right now in the cinemas. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing. What else you got for us?
So a slight change, animated movie called Fireheart. This is about 16-year-old Georgia Nolan, who dreams of being the world's first female firefighter, but her father forbids it. But when a mysterious arsonist starts to burn down Broadway, New York's firemen start disappearing. Georgia's father comes out of retirement to help his old firefighting buddies. They are joined by a new recruit called Joe as they set out to stop the arsonist. So it's set in the 1930s. So that's why the storyline is about the first ever female firefighter. Just in case.
I was going to say, I did see the trailer and thought, surely this isn't the thing. This is now.
Yeah, surely this is not set in the modern era. Yeah,
This isn't the
case. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so just in case okay. you were wondering why there's a story that's...
Got a little bit angry.
Yeah, like, exactly.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And I have to say, because it is set in the 1930s, we get some excellent background animation in the film of like classic New York buildings and really cool motor cars and some really excellent clothing as well. I really enjoyed the background animation.
Cool.
The foreground animation, like the characters themselves, there's nothing to write home about. It's sort of standard generic type of character stylings we've seen loads of, you know, we've seen through the years. They're fine. It's all right. No, whatever. So really what's left is the storyline, and that's okay. It's not outstanding, yet there is some really entertaining moments throughout that I did find entertained me, but actually I was more interested in, to be honest with you, because it mainly revolves around Georgia trying and failing to get her dad to give her a job in the fire department. And then when he doesn't, she takes matters into her own hands. It's quite a fun, easygoing part of the storyline, you know, of course. There is that theme there of women are as good as, if not better, than men at many things, and they should be treated equally in any day and age. So, you know, it is a message that is hammered home a lot in the film. And while the message is, you know, absolutely important, it does feel like it's overly used here, I've got to be honest. But when the film is doing it subtly, it does it very well. And I thought that was very good. It's just when it's doing a bit too much, I thought...
Sometimes they try too hard with it, don't
I
they?
I think that's
to
the
really
thing.
Get
like,
the
you know,
in.
The second time it happens, I'm like, right, we get the message. Okay, great, fantastic. And, you know, the message is really important, especially in this day and age. I just felt like it was almost every 10 minutes. And I was kind of thinking...
Quick recap on the message.
Yeah, we understand, but, you know, so it's there, but maybe it's a little bit too much. Beyond that, I will say this. I did like the characters. I thought Georgia as Joe, spoiler alert, but you probably already guessed it from what I said with the synopsis.
The trailer.
You know, I mean, the synopsis says they're joined by a new recruit called Joe. I mean, you know, I thought Georgia...
Whenever I've seen Joe before.
Yeah, where's Joe coming from? He looks really strange. I thought that was really funny. actually, I did laugh a lot at Georgia trying to be Joe, but actually falling back into Georgia routines, basically. I did laugh a lot. I also very much liked the family Dalmatian dog that keeps coming along for the ride, even though he's scared of just about everything. I did like that.
Nice.
That was funny. So, you know, look, here's the thing. It's not the best animated film in the of the year. It's probably not even the best one of the month, to be honest with you. But there is a great message at the centre of this movie. There's some charming animation in it. And I did laugh quite a lot at a lot of decent, funny bits. So I, you know, on the whole, enjoyed this. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, Fireheart, one for the kids.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, very much aimed at kids rather than, you know, adults as well. Oh, there's some jokes in here for the adults. There isn't really at all. But then at the same time, as I said, the animation, the background animation is really cool. Really like it. It's got a really nice style to it. And seeing those classic New York buildings done in that style, I really liked as well. So, yeah, maybe there's something there for the adults, but I think it's mainly aimed at kids.
Nice. Who's done the animation on this one?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Did you want it there?
No, I don't know. Sorry. Sorry. Not one of those that I'm aware of. But yeah. Yeah. But
they did it well.
They did. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we've talked about animation movies in the past that have been, well, a dog's dinner, let's be honest, haven't we? You know.
It warmed your heart then.
It did. Oh, yes. Yes, it did. Yes. There you go. Yes.
So Fireheart, where is
it? This is on Sky Cinema, exclusively on Sky Cinema. So if you've got Sky Cinema, it is on there now.
Excellent. What else you got for us?
So do you watch The Ozarks TV show? Do you watch that? Have you seen
Yes, I'm a few seasons in. I'm not there's about a million series, isn't it? But I'm about four in.
Okay, so I finished watching it the other week, and you know, I agree with everybody, you know, it's great show. It's an amazing show.
It's very good.
It's very good. It's very good. Yeah. So we now have a film called Ghosts of the Ozarks. The reason I mention Ozarks is because it's not related to the Ozarks, okay?
Oh.
It's nothing to do with that.
That's a shame.
The kind of the worry is I would look at it and go, is that a prequel? I'm not quite sure. So it's nothing to do with, with Ozarks, okay? So this is Ghosts of the Ozarks. It's set in a post-Civil War Arkansas where a young doctor is mysteriously summoned to a remote town in the Ozarks only to discover that the utopian paradise is filled with secrets and surrounded by a menacing supernatural presence.
Oh, do you just hate when that happens? That sounds like my last holiday to Cornwall.
Right, okay. The other thing about this is there's going to be people who are already going, hang on, that sounds suspiciously familiar from several years ago. And wasn't there a film that already did this called The Village? Yes, there is.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, it is. Okay.
Yeah. So yes and yes.
There is no escape in the fact that you're watching this movie, Ghosts of the Ozarks, and you can't escape the ghost lurking in the background that is The Village. So I kind of looked at this and thinking, is this some sort of weird prequel, sequel? Or so, you know, it's not, but could it be? It's a well-made movie. I'll say that. It uses minimal locations very well. And for the most of the film, I did get a genuine sense of unease about what was happening. There were a few creepy moments in there as well. But the problem is most of the film is dialogue. It's not as atmospheric as it could be. It's not as scary as it could be. It is dependent on the characters all talking their own talk and making you question each of them. But after a while, I started to get a little bit bored, to be honest.
Oh, no. You know, that's a good sign.
Yeah, there are certainly a couple of these characters that could easily have been trimmed out of the film. And it wouldn't have made any difference, to be honest with you. The other big issue is the film, it's how easy it is to pick up on what the actual supernatural presence is. I mean, I guessed it very early on because it's pretty obvious about everything it does. The problem is that the film starts out on this path very early on and it can't seem to get back onto that path after it's sort of veered off trying to do some red herring work and whatever else. So once you've figured it out, it's just kind of a waiting game to the end where you go,
then you're counting down the minutes.
I thought so. You know, I think the final third of the movie is nowhere near as good as it could be either. Whether you've guessed the ending or not, to be honest with you, the finale should be I think it should be this rip-roaring finale, basically, but it all just felt like it was just, you know, a bit of a damp squib, to be honest with you, and that was kind of it. So I think, you know, the film did have some potential in it, but it is too heavily leaning on that M. Night Shyamalan movie that we've already seen. What was it? You know, 15 years ago, maybe, something like that. So I think, unfortunately, it does have that there, and it does come a cropper earlier on, early on, when, you know, obviously it struggles with trying to throw too many things in there, a bit too many characters as well. I think, you know, for me, I was slightly underwhelmed by it all, but I think anybody who's got any interest in sort of old-timey American history or any old-timey American history horror,
yeah,
this is possibly worth a look, you know?
Yeah, it looked kind of fun from that point
it's one of those things that maybe if it sort of piques your interest in the fact that it has got a very niche section that you're really interested in, as I said, American horror, American history or something like that, just post-Civil War, it's possibly worth a look. For the rest of us, the problem is that the village looks...
Just watch The Village.
But I don't like The Village either. This is the thing.
Oh,
no, just don't. You know, there's another film that I worked out the ending from where you were like, okay, I think I know what the ending is here. You know.
Well, you've seen a lot of them. So
well, that's true. Yeah, exactly. You're at an advantage. So, yeah. But, you know, Ghost of the Ozarks, it's one of those movies that unfortunately is in the shadow of a movie that basically did it 15 years ago, whenever The Village came out. I think The Village came out in 2009, something like that. Maybe I could be wrong. So it's constantly living in that shadow. That's the unfortunate thing.
Forever haunted by the ghost of the film that it's trying to copy.
Yes, exactly. You see, here's me spending 10 minutes trying to make it sound great. And there's you with one sentence. You've nailed it perfectly.
There we are. That's spookily good, isn't it? That's just, I mean, from the trailer, this doesn't look anything like the actual Ozarks, like when we watched series where there's water everywhere. I haven't seen a splash of any water.
Yeah, but
in the
as
trailer.
I said, it's all mainly shot indoors, very minimal locations. True. That's the thing.
Difficult to get any water in there.
Yeah, you know, there is a couple of bits where you go, I think it's in the Ozarks. You know, I mean, as I said, it's Arkansas, that's the thing. And obviously, Arkansas post Civil War, slightly different to Ozarks in the TV show now.
So the SUVs are a bit smaller.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Excellent. So this is out on
So this is on digital platforms. We should say that now. I keep saying digital download, but it's digital platforms.
Digital platforms.
I keep getting it wrong. Digital platforms. If I say digital download in the future, you have to correct me. Digital platforms, okay? So what it basically means is you can rent it or you can buy it.
So that's a place, a platform as in where you get your movies, not a platform as in like a digital pair of shoes that are really high.
Yes.
That's what I'm picturing you in.
Yeah, well, at the weekends.
Fair enough.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. What you got for us next week, Mark?
So next week, we're going to be talking about a horror movie called Dash Cam. Now, do you remember 2 years ago, there was a horror movie called Host, which was all shot over Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the breakout hit of 2020. Yes. You know, and it was a seance and whatever. And we reviewed it and I was like, yes, fantastic. Brilliant. So Dash Cam.
Which was very scary.
It was very scary. I do agree with you. So Dash Cam is the new movie from the team behind Host, basically. Okay. So we're going to review that. We're also going to be reviewing. It is about a dash cam. That's the thing. Subtle. I mean, it does what it says on the tin. It's a dash cam. Yeah. It's footage from a dash cam. So there we go. And then on digital platforms, as we're getting it right, we are, because it will be obviously the coming up to the Jubilee weekend, we're going to be reviewing a new documentary. It's called Elizabeth, A Portrait in Parts.
Oh, and now, okay, cool.
Obviously, we'll talk about it more in depth next week and whatever else, but this is from the director of Notting Hill. Now, obviously, he died last year. Passed away last year. This was the last piece he worked on. And it's a very different documentary. We'll talk about it next week, but it's a very different documentary. And then we will also talk about Bergman Island, which is the new film starring Tim Roth. It's all about a writer and his wife who moved to this island where Ingmar Bergman had all of his inspirations for his movies and his writing career and everything. The writer hopes to go there and have the same happen to him, basically. Big hit on the festival circuit last year. Big hit on the festival circuit. It's now finally coming to cinemas.
Fantastic. Sounds like a good week, Mark Demo CB.
Ah, oh, it's so terrible. I mean, it's not terrible, but I mean, it
I do
could
feel
be worse.
Bad for you.
It's just a bit average, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Not worked out well, but I'm going to stick it with you. That's it now.
Terrible.
The power of the internet.
Terrible.
Name generator.
Oh, dear.
Do you reckon they said they did it in the film? They were like, right, we need some names. Stick him in a name generator.
Maybe we'll that's the thing. Maybe one of the secondary characters is called Demo, in which case, okay, fine, but it's still not great, is it? Just makes it sound like a demo tape.
It's like you're auditioning.
Yeah, exactly. Pilot. It's like I'm auditioning. Yeah, never mind, eh?
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, have a good one, and I'll see you back here again with Aviators off. Do you have to take them off? I think we're going to keep them on next year.
Well, the Aviators on, but tops off, obviously.
That. Yeah,
and then
fair
and then a volleyball session.
Oh, I forgot to ask you. Did anyone take a shower in the new one?
What? Have a guess.
Of course they did.
Did they have a volleyball game? Of course they did. Yes. Well, actually, they didn't have a volleyball game. They had an American football game. But you know, it's. I mean,
same. Oh dear.
And the thing is, as well, is I'm trying not to give spoilers away here, but it is funny. When this American football game happened, I was in a packed cinema and everybody just started laughing because they were just like, of course this is happening. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it? If it didn't happen, people would have written complaint letters, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.